Hi, this is Booker T, former WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
For the benefit of those with flash photography,
would you please shut the hell up?
Oh, yes!
Ooh, yeah!
That was what was best for business.
Can you dig that, sucker?
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Have a nice day!
With your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 39. I'm Steve Credo.
I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing you another wrestling podcast, but another great show we have on in store for you guys. A lot of things are happening today. We have on... coming up very shortly, the five-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Booker T is in the house. Can you believe that, Jonathan?
I sucker.
The whitest thing you'll ever do today.
Yeah.
But wow, we have another former multi-champion on the show. Booker T is in the house. He'll be joining us shortly. Jonathan, wow, are you excited for this or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's not every day that we get to talk to Booker T, the caliber of talent. I hate to tell you that we told you so, but 2015 will be the year of another wrestling podcast.
And he told you so. Jonathan, I'm going to have to steal a line out of your book, and I'm going to have to say today might be one of the greatest show we ever had.
All right.
Well, Jonathan, we talk a lot about different topics on the show. If you guys are just tuning in today and you never listened to any other show we've done before, what's the greatest thing about our show, Jonathan, if you're listening to us? What do we do every week that other shows don't do?
You know, we talk about topics in pro wrestling. We aren't a highlight show. We're not a recap show. We're not going to tell you all about the thing that you just saw. We like to stir up conversation, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. Today, we're going to talk about brothers, sisters, some family influence in professional wrestling.
That's right, Jonathan. That's one of the greatest things about our shows. You can go back to any show we've talked about, and you will always find an evergreen topic that you can listen to, and it's not outdated. So, you know, go back to episode 5, go back to episode 28. Anything you want to listen to, it can be heard all year round, and it's a great debate. We don't want to talk your ear off, but I mean, this is what we do. And with the real life brothers and sisters in pro wrestling, I think what better topic than this? There's a lot of families in pro wrestling, Jonathan, a lot of families, but there's not too many people out there that are actually real life brothers or sisters that work together in pro wrestling. One of the first teams I want to talk about before Booker T gets here is right off the top, a brother team. The Harlem Heat. Let's talk a little bit about this team, Jonathan, and tell me a little bit about the Harlem Heat.
It's cool to see that before they were ever Harlem Heat, they actually got to tag as the Huffman Brothers, which that's their real last name. So they wrestled for Ivan Putski's Western Wrestling Alliance, and they, you know, after they were there for a while, they got to be repackaged. That's what they call it in the biz. After they think that they need a gimmick change. So they got to become the Ebony Experience and became really, really popular there. And they were wrestling in Texas at the time. So everybody knows about how huge the Texas wrestling scene was. And they caught the eye of none other than WCW. And that's really whenever they became Harlem Heat. And that was in the mid-90s. So Harlem Heat, Stevie Ray, Booker T, they went on to become some of the, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, but probably also one of the most decorated tag teams of all time.
Sure. Now, tell me a little bit about Harlem Heat, because, I mean, they one of their managers was one of my favorites of all time, Sister Sherry. She was a really good, she was a really good manager, valet, whatever you want to call it. She was a great voice behind some of these guys. But paired up with them, what did you think about Sister Sherry and Harlem Heat?
Well, I am a huge Sensational Sherry, Sister Sherry fan. I think that she is just one of the most incredible managers, wrestlers of all time. So to put her with them, it was definitely a great idea. But that wasn't the first manager they had. They had Colonel Parker, which I don't know if you remember. He he was kind of a Colonel Sanders-esque type of role, but I think that obviously everybody remembers Sister Sherry more than Colonel Parker, but they were great, and they really were a tag team almost until WCW closed its doors in 2001. So they reformed in 2000, and instead of Sister Sherry, they had this big lady named Midnight who joined him. And it didn't really do much, but Booker T, Stevie Ray, they are one of the greatest tag teams and true life brothers. And you got to see that when Booker T got inducted into the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. that his brother was the one that inducted him. So it was awesome.
That's right. We were there. And did you think about, growing up watching these guys younger, did you really think they were brothers, or did you think it was just part of the act, if you will? What I mean? Because like a lot of people watching it, when they say, oh, they're brothers, like Kane and Undertaker, they're brothers, but, they're really...
Spoiler alert is what we say.
There is no Easter Bunny either, but, sorry, Jonathan. But you know what I mean? When you're watching it, like, did you take it for, like, fact? Like, did they actually have to say, like, these guys are legitimately brothers, instead of just saying, oh, yeah, they're brothers? I mean... I think just watching it back then, I was just like, they're just putting them together, calling them brothers. I didn't really, I never really knew they were actual brothers until like a few years later.
I will be completely honest. As a child watching it, I would have probably believed if they said Vader and Booker T were brothers. But I legitimately thought they were brothers. I really enjoyed that they were, for me, in WCW, what the Rockers were in WWF. They were a cohesive tag team. They were, constantly, whether it was through their outfits, their music, whatever, they were kind of up to date with all that stuff. So I really enjoyed the Harlem Heat when I really wasn't a huge fan of WCW growing up. So that definitely says a lot for somebody who was a diehard WWE guy. Who watched very little WCW, but when I did, it was because of basically Harlem Heat.
All right. Well, I got a question for you. It's a two-part question. First part question, if you had to rank Harlem Heat out of a top five, give that to Booker T's top five. If you had to rank the Harlem Heat tag team as a top five in WCW, out of the history of maybe around the time that they were together, what would you rank the Harlem Heat as a 1 through 5 for you?
At this point, the only reason that they're not number one is because of Brian Pillman and Stone Cold Steve Austin as the Hollywood Blondes. That's if I was to choose anybody else, it would be them. So they are a very, very close second, almost first on my fave five of tag teams.
Now, my second part question is, now I honestly don't even know if this happened or not. I'm just kind of asking it. Maybe you know. Did Harlem Heat ever team up in WWE when WWE bought WCW, or no? Stevie Ray was pretty much done by then, right?
Yeah, at that point he was okay. Done. So they never got to, unfortunately.
All right. My second part question was going to be, how would you rank 1 through 5, a top 5 Harlem Heat if you could put them up against any of the early young Attitude Era tag teams about the time when WWE bought them over. Would you give them a ranking if they were still together then?
Yeah, I'd definitely give them a ranking. I don't know that they would be as high at that point just because there was a lot of really good tag teams in the WWE and WCW at that time, but definitely top five for sure.
All right, well, all in all, they're both in your top five in WWE and WCW, so that's good. Just a question. I wanted to get it out there. If you're listening out there, let us know where you thought Harlem Heat stood out on Twitter. Tweet us at @AWrestlingPod. That's @AWrestlingPod. Let us know, guys. We're an interactive show. We want to hear from you. Tweet us. Let us know. Right, Jonathan?
That's right. And I hate to tell you this, Steve, but right now, without further ado, we're going to welcome Booker T.
Can you dig it? Dig it, sucker! Sucker! Can you dig it, sucker?
We're all in for a treat today. Joining us is a multi-time champion, a trainer, promoter, and he's currently the voice of WWE Raw. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Booker T.
What's going on, man?
Now, Booker, thank you so much for joining us, obviously. Have you thawed out from last week's snowstorm yet?
Yeah, pretty much. You know what I mean? It was a rough couple of days, to say the least. Philly wasn't so bad, but after that, it got pretty rough going ahead into Hartford, so just got reached. Went to Connecticut, got a job done in Stanford, and here we are.
So not too long ago, you were working on the Raw pre-show. Have you adjusted to life back behind the announce table now?
I'm getting close. You know what I mean? It's a big difference, unexpected as well. You know, I wasn't expecting to be back on the announce table here in 2015. Just trying to stay astute. Do my part as far as, studying the game, making sure I have my notes on the guys, go out there and do my best to, get them over.
Okay. Now, one of your commentary colleagues, Jerry Lawler, has spent some time on the mic and wrestling. Is there any chance we get to see Booker T wrestle in WWE one more time?
No. I don't ever want to wrestle ever again in a WWE ring. Nothing against WWE or anything, but I don't want to wrestle on that level anymore. As far as, going out there and trying to test wits with the young guys, it's a young man's game, and it's my job to step aside and give these guys their just due and let them go out there and, do their business.
Sure. Now you're currently a very busy man. Aside from WWE, you also have a wrestling promotion and school. What made you want to create Reality of Wrestling?
Just give the young guys the opportunity to actually get in the ring properly, learn the business properly, not get, cheated like I did when I was coming up. My money took, just by someone who was just trying to, pay a bill or whatever, fee to have it, whatever, I'm not sure what. But I just want to, I said a long time ago when I first got in the wrestling business, I wanted to open a school one day so I could give young guys a chance at the opportunity, to go around the world and see it if they have the skills, if they have the potential. If they have that, I'm going to do my part to get them to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now training future stars no doubt means that you hand out lots of advice. What is the best advice you ever received as a rookie in the business?
Probably I was going to have a lot of obstacles up against me, from the beginning, but, persist just because I had the talent, to overcome it, no matter what it was, over it, under it, around it, sometimes you have to go through it, but just believe in my talent. Of course, I tell young people, make sure they get a good trainer, someone who's been there, someone who's experienced it and know exactly what it's going to take to, tell you what it's going to take to get to the next level.
With some of your students trying out and wrestling all over the map, what's the biggest sin a superstar can commit?
Not being ready to go on every given occasion. This is a business where we take no days off. We don't call in sick. We don't have a doctor's note or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We show up. We do our job no matter what.
Okay, now, as I mentioned before, you spent a lot of time with WWE and ROW. Another organization that you've been known to spend a lot of time in is Northeast Wrestling here in New England. What keeps you coming back here to the Northeast?
I mean, we're really good friends, you know what I mean? We worked together, you know, for pretty much over about 10 years now. I'm always down for supporting Mike and his organization, Northeast Wrestling. We've got a lot of good guys up there. I'm looking forward to actually bringing a lot of those guys down here to Reality of Wrestling, letting them get a chance to see what Texas wrestling is all about as well, you know. So it's just a matter, it's just about, you know, partnering, you know, having, you know, someone to go to when you need them. And me and Mike has always been like that.
You'll be coming to WrestleFest 19 on March 6th for Northeast Wrestling, as well as Spring Slam on April 17th. On both of these shows, you and your brother will be reuniting. Are you glad to get to spend some time on the road with Stevie Ray again?
Definitely. Definitely I'm glad to be back on the road with my brother, actually. Just getting a chance to, you know, touch those little pockets, actually, that me and my brother never got a chance to actually go. And a lot of those fans still got photos that they want me and my brother to decide, you know, so... definitely, that's a good part, you know what I mean? As well as me and my brother hadn't traveled together in quite some time, you know. So to finish this thing the way I started it, you know what I mean, is very important.
So last week was the Super Bowl. Lots of people were claiming that Katy Perry looked like she took her fashion advice from the late Bam Bam Bigelow. We thought that she might have been channeling you and Stevie Ray. When the halftime Super Bowl performance hit, did your Twitter just blow up?
Yeah, it did, actually. That was pretty cool. You know, and the outfit, actually, it did look like something that Cher Martel would have wore back in the day. But I thought she went out there and did a great job. She did a hell of a job. Hell of a halftime show. You know, Katy Perry is, you know, exactly what, you know, she, you know, what she is. And that is a superstar, man. She's awesome.
Now, you were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2013. Do you feel like you could retire now? And do you still have things that you want to do?
No, I mean, I never see myself retiring, period. I don't ever want to ever stop working. Are there things that yet I still want to do? Of course, not wrestling related. Like I said, I don't want to get in the ring and wrestle. Or do that ever again, you know what I mean? Me and my brother, we got a big match coming up. That's going to be our final match. But I want to put that side of business behind me. I don't want to be one of these wrestlers to, you know, I'm coming out of retirement, you know, to get in the ring, you know, to, you know, make some money. You know, I'm in a good place right now. You know, I got a lot of things going on. I got, you know, my WWE work. I got my Reality of Wrestling school. I have my wrestling promotion, you know, my radio show, you know, Heated Conversation, you know, so I just got so much stuff going on right now. It's just definitely it's so much more to be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can't stress how busy you've been, not only throughout your career, but in the last few years as well. You wrote an autobiography called From Prison to Promise, Life Before the Squared Circle. The book kind of ends right before you get the call from WCW. Does this mean that we're going to get a second book at some point?
Yeah, next month. Should be you know, on the shelves, My Rise to Wrestling Royalty. It's all finished up. Right now, I just got some advance copies in the mail today. And, yeah, it's going to be out there. I'm going to be signing a few of them this weekend, actually. I've got a book signing, advanced copies of the book as well, you know. So definitely the book is out. It'll be out, you know, in a few weeks.
All right. Now, you also have your own radio show in Houston. Are you excited for this new project as well?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Heated Conversation, AM68 Radio. As well as CBS radio as well. I tell you, man, it's great be able to do my show every Saturday night, talking about, you know, heated issues, you know, something totally different than just wrestling. You know, I don't talk wrestling on my show or anything like that, but real life, you know, events, you know, and what's going on in the neighborhood, you know, and in the family life, you know, MMA music as well, you know, so Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Right now, we've got a really, really good buzz. You know what I mean? 16 Radio, they're really excited about having me on as well, you know. So something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And now, I feel like I'm ready for it more than anything. I'm prepared for it more than anything this time. So, it's a great time of life.
Awesome.
Now, speaking of projects, will I ever get a WWE-produced Booker T DVD?
Well, I don't know about the DVD, but the documentary should be on at the end of the month, on the network. It's going to be like an hour-long documentary. So, you'll be able to look at the inside of, life of Booker T and, some career moments as well, I guess.
Okay.
Now, this year's Rumble, can we get your reaction to, on your thoughts of Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble?
Oh, man, it's controversial, of course, to say the least. The kid, he's got a lot of uphill battle. I mean, he's got a lot of shoes to fill. Not just The Rock or anything like that, but he's got so many different, shoes to fill. MAGA, he's got to go out there and be himself, I think. You know what I mean? He's got to go out there and find who Roman Reigns is and let, and I think he needs to be, let him do what he does best as well. I don't think we've seen the best of Roman Reigns and who Roman Reigns really is because, we got so many people to compare him to.
Sure.
And I think in the long run, I think I'm going to actually get a chance to see exactly what he's made of. Hopefully we could actually see him in that match, at WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar, because that'll tell the story exactly, how far this kid has come or how far this kid got to go. So we'll see.
Lightning round.
Who is currently in your fave five?
I don't have anybody in my fave five right now, Karen.
Okay.
All right. Well, what is a shucky ducky quack quack?
It's a moment. It's a term. It's a phrase. It can mean pretty much whatever you want it to mean. You can hit a good basketball shot, a three-pointer, and go shucky ducky quack quack. You can see a nice car and say, man, shucky ducky quack quack. You can see a nice girl and say, shucky ducky quack quack. It can mean whatever you want it to mean.
All right.
Okay. What is your most memorable spin-a-rooney?
Probably Stone Cold Stunner when I got stunned at WrestleMania.
All right, a better finisher, the Rock Bottom or the Bookend?
Both, because both of them are mine.
Okay, and lastly, what is your favorite run that you had in WWE? Was it Book Dust, Booker T, King Booker?
Definitely King Booker, I think. I know it's the most dynamic, most... I don't know how to explain it, but it was an awesome run. Yeah.
We definitely want to thank you again. We appreciate your time, and we can't wait to see you here in the Northeast for Northeast Wrestling. Two great shows coming up with not only you, but Stevie Ray. So we look forward to seeing you, and thank you so much.
Boom. Thank you very much, man. You guys have a good night.
You too. All right,
thank you. All right, Booker T, once again, thanks for joining AWP. What a great guy. Jonathan, what also, if you guys are listening to us and you are in the Northeast, coming up March 6th, WrestleFest 19 for Northeast Wrestling, you're gonna get a chance to meet the Harlem Heat. You're going to get a chance to meet Booker T and Stevie Ray at the show coming up. Guys, we're going to be talking that a little bit later, but if you want to check them out, northeastwrestling.com for more information. But Jonathan, back to families. Let's talk a little bit about current families, current brothers and sisters in wrestling now. One group I want to bring up right off the top are the Bella Twins. Not for nothing, I mean, being a twin is one in, I don't know, a million, I'll say. I don't know the exact... mathematical equation of this, but being a twin is rare, but being a twin in pro wrestling is even more of a rarity. But Jonathan, what do you think about the Bella Twins, what they're doing in wrestling right now?
Well, I will say that, first of all, the odds of being a twin is about 3 in 100 or 3%. So you were definitely off base there. Second of all, I will tell you that you can look, but you can't touch. That's what I tell a lot of people. And that brings us to the Bella Twins. I'm just going to hit you with some facts there. you know, they're around my age, the ripe old age of 31, and they were born 16 minutes apart, if you can believe it. And they have been in the WWE since about 2007. They did have a brief stint where they left the WWE, but they're back now, and they are either dating or married to two of the most important people in the WWE right now. But as far as twins in professional wrestling, they're not as common as the 3% would let you think, because we have a few sets of twins in the WWE, but there's also a few more that are kind of cropped up over the years. So definitely, to your point, they're not that common, but the Bella Twins, to me, are a group of females, really, that have not gotten – I guess they've gotten better with their time in WWE, is sure. What I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's right, Jonathan. And the only thing I could think of as twins in wrestling, from what I remember, are the referees, the
head nurse.
Yeah, and I just don't really like saying their name after, you know, the whole Bret Hart thing. The Hebners, but then they also had Jack and Jerry Briscoe. You know, that was the only really twins I remember in wrestling. But like I said, you know, having actual sisters, twins, wrestling right now is pretty very uncommon. One of those things.
Well, I mean, I guess that you are forgetting that the Usos are twins.
That's right. That's right. I can never tell with, you know.
You've also got, and this is probably way too geeky wrestling fan of me, but in OVW right now, there are the Blossom Twins, Hannah, and I'm pretty sure it's Holly, and they have been in OVW for a while, but I am not sure that they're going to be as popular as the Bellas. Now, if you're listening to us, I apologize. You know, I'm always ready to be proven wrong, but
hey, that's why I have you here, man, because I just say some nonsense and then you're there to back it up with some facts, and that's what I love, at least, because or else I would just, you know, be uttering nonsense and probably sound stupid. So I probably do, but it's okay. That's why you're here, Jonathan. The fact man. We could probably, you know, get that hashtag going for the night. All in all, though, Jonathan, twins, they might be coming common now, but definitely with the Bellas, the Usos, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I guess if you're a twin, you have to do something with your twin, and I guess wrestling is probably one of the ways to go if you want to make some money off it, or you could chew gum. I don't know. Doubleman Twins always made some money too, right?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to think that the business is just so so hard to break into. So you get a lot of people that, you know, try and they don't succeed or whatever, but now you have families that have made it, and you've got brothers and sisters that have made it, and you've got twins that have made it. So it's just pretty cool to see that this can still happen.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of more families in wrestling, one of the places we don't really talk that much about is Ring of Honor. And down there is one of my favorite tag teams. One of the tag teams I wish they would sign, the Briscoe brothers, Jay and Mark Briscoe. Jonathan, tell me about these guys. I mean, these guys are, you know, they got the whole redneck shtick going, but they're an incredible tag team, and I just scratch my head to why nobody wants them. I kind of know a few reasons probably why nobody wants them, but I mean, you know what I mean? They're such a good team. I wish they would be called up to WWE or something like that. But
yeah, no, they've been. I mean, I'm telling you right now, they've wrestled all over. They've been in Ring of Honor since about 2002. Mm-hmm. And they're quickly becoming one of the greatest tag teams of all time. You know, they are – I can't explain them other than they're somewhat white trashy. I don't want to sound bad or anything like that. But they – you know, right now you've got Jay Briscoe as the Ring of Honor World Champion. So not only have they been successful as tag team, but they are now going their kind of their own ways, and they've got a big feud going right now with they're with ODB, and they're going against the Kingdom. So we just spoke with ODB, we've spoke with Maria Kanellis and Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, so we've had all of them on our shows, so you should definitely go back and listen to some of those shows as well.
Well, Jonathan, once again, I mean, once another prime example of brothers in wrestling. I mean, you know, once again, for me, it's just one of those things where it's just not a gimmick. It's actually the truth. They're really real-life brothers in wrestling. And if you didn't know that, well, now you do. Another team I want to get into is the Dust Brothers. Cody Rhodes, Stardust and Goldust. You know, they've come a long way. Cody has just done about everything right now that he could do, and he's gone quite crazy recently. Now with his brother Goldust teaming up, they've done some good stuff, but I don't know how much further they can go. I think one of the things people want to see is a brother versus brother match. What do you think though about the Dust Brothers?
You know, I am so happy that this worked out the way it did, because I don't think that Goldust has had a better run in his entire career than he has right now. And, you know, once this does finally happen and we get this match, I'm hoping at WrestleMania, that you're going to see just a really, really good match. It may be one of those ones that people don't realize, but it has the potential to be the match of the night, really. And these guys are, there's quite an age gap between these two, so it's just kind of neat to see that Goldust is still going out there and kicking it, but basically.
That's right. Do you think we're ever going to see Cody Rhodes as Cody Rhodes again, or is he going to be forever known as Stardust?
I don't think he's forever going to be known as Stardust, but I think that this is going to go on for quite some time.
It's definitely something I honestly, if you put money down on it years ago and saying, you know, this is what he's going to do, I would have never won the money. But I mean, I'll tell you what, he took the ball and he ran with it. He freaking changes his outfit every other week, you know, to match something different. He's got the gimmick down. It's crazy. He's probably doing a better Goldust than Goldust is right now, but I mean, crazier. But it's unique. I love seeing that the brothers came together to do this, and I would have never have guessed, like I said, that, you know, in the end, Cody and Goldust would be teaming up and actually mimicking each other in what they look like in a way to be another top tag team. And it's amazing how many current brothers and sisters are in wrestling, you know, that are twins or just brothers in general. You know, it amazes me still to this day that, you know, I get it. Pro wrestling, you know, to make it to pro wrestling, to make it to the top is a rarity. But then to make it with your brother, to be in the top, you know, tier of athletes with a brother or a sister, it's still remarkable, I believe, that, you know, a lot of these people are doing this today.
Yeah, you know, it's so cool, though, because you do get to see it, and it's a lot more emotional, I think. And with, you know, Goldust and Cody, you have, you know, their dad's still involved in wrestling as well, the great Dusty Rhodes, so he gets to see it, and, you know, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. And I really, you know, we're going to get into some more of these, but the first thing that I'm going to say to you is, did you know that we had a YouTube page?
I did know that, but maybe you want to tell everybody listening about it.
So we have our own YouTube page, everybody. It's youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod. That is /anotherwrestlingpod. And we do a lot of exclusives on there. We're not just a one-trick pony. We do this podcast for you each and every week, but we want to give everybody just a couple more surprises. So this week on YouTube, it's an exclusive. You're not going to see it anywhere else. The one, the only, the warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi, FKA Kizarni.
Wow, Jonathan. I mean, we have enough guests on this show as it is, but it's also good to give back to the YouTube universe and give you guys more exclusives, more special interviews that you can, you know, head on over there, check out, and listen to. I mean, it's another place of, you know, existence that we live on in the social media realm that, you know, we want you guys to check out. So besides this show that you're listening to right now, you can head on over to YouTube and listen to more shows in your free time. So a lot of exclusive interviews, a lot of different interviews. So be sure you head on over there, follow us, subscribe to us on YouTube, and you'll be sure to check out a new video every week it goes up. So back to families, though, Jonathan. We talked about some present families, but let's talk a little bit about some past families, or brothers, in wrestling. This next tag team I want to get into is probably one of the biggest brother tag teams that have ever graced the squared circle. The Steiner brothers, Jonathan, the Steiner brothers. Were you ever a fan of the Steiner brothers?
I will say that I was a fan of the dog face gremlin Rick Steiner more than I was Scott Steiner, but I collectively was a fan of the Steiner brothers, yes.
I didn't know too much about them when they were in WCW, but, you know, all I knew is that they, you know, that one guy had the headgear on, and that's how I recognized them when they actually came over to the WWE. They, you know, they had that old wrestling college shtick, wrestling mat gimmick, but they were pretty good. They were pretty good as a tag team. I don't think they were given too much opportunity early on in the WWE to shine, but, you know, they were brothers. They that's what set them apart, that they were the Steiner brothers, and I think even back then, two, you didn't really have too many teams that were actually actual brothers. And I think they were probably one of the, maybe the first teams that I actually knew that were actual real life brothers.
Well, you know, they're nothing to sneeze at. They won the WWF Tag Team Championships twice. They were in WWE at a good time with a lot of different tag teams. You had Money Incorporated, Legion of Doom. You had the Hart Foundation. I mean, there was just a lot of tag teams that they went against. But they're a well-traveled tag team. They've been all over, whether it be NWA, WCW, WWE, ECW, TNA. And even to this day, they still have some reunions where, you know, they're kind of – they reunite on the independent circuit all over the world. But I think the biggest thing for me was the, you know – you knew right away that they were from Michigan University because they wore their coats out to the ring. They also had some funky, like, 80s to 90s Saved by the Bell-esque singlets that they would wear. I do remember Rick Steiner barking a lot at just random things and people. But the biggest thing for me for the Steiner brothers was that I think they were probably one of the first tag teams to kind of put their name in every one of their finishing maneuvers. So I don't know if you remember this, but there was the Steinerizer, the Steiner DDT, the Steiner device, the Steiner line, the Frankensteiner, the Steiner recliner, the Steiner screwdriver, and that's pretty much it. But even their music was like Steinerized, or, you know, so that's something that I'll always remember. I think that's something that probably other tag teams took from them after that.
Yeah, definitely. That's why you're here, Jonathan. Man, you are the man with the facts, brother. This is why you guys can enjoy the show, because out of my nonsense comes the man of reason, the man of the fact-checking. It tells you like it is. Jonathan Benjamin. Jonathan, thank you.
Hey, anytime.
But as we're speaking, guys, great info on the Steiner brothers, because, I mean, I don't know. They've done so much, but, you know, we've seen them come back a few times on the independent circuits, meeting back up with the brothers. But, you know, not too much from Rick, but we got Scott had a lengthy career, and he's still going, even though he's not really currently signed by any mainstream, wrestling companies, but he's still out there. Maybe one day we'll talk to him. But moving on to some more families of yesteryear, one of the biggest families in pro wrestling would have to be, and believe me, I hope I don't butcher this, but it's the Anoa'i family, the
yes.
Head of Afa and Sika, the head shrinkers, you know. I'll let you label who's part of the family and whatnot, but I mean, we can go back to this other tag team of, they were brothers, right? I'm assuming, because that's what we're talking about, brothers, only because this family's so big, I don't want to get it wrong, like one's a brother, one's an uncle. Tell me a little bit about the head shrinkers, Jonathan.
Well, they, actually, you're thinking, the Wild Samoans was actually Afa and Sika, and then their sons became the head shrinkers. So you have two pairs here, which is a rarity, of brothers that were tag teams. So this is a great lineage. The Anoa'i family is got everybody from the Wild Samoans, the head shrinkers, and I'm going to overlap because some of these people had, you know, different gimmicks, but obviously, the main one that people know, The Rock, Rikishi, the Usos, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, you name it. And even now, Lance Onoa'i is on the independent scene right now, and he is wrestling. So this – oh, Roman Reigns. I forgot to say him. He's also a part of this family.
Yeah. I mean, as you can see, I'm just thinking head shrinkers, but yeah. The Wild Samoans, thanks for correcting me on that, because, like I said, this family's huge. You had Fatu, Samu. I'm not going to go through all the names, but you know what I mean? It's a very big family. And also recently, inductee to the WWE Hall of Fame, Rikishi is part of this whole family. So, I mean, there's a whole big... I'm right about that, right? Because now I feel like I'm double-checking myself that I'm wrong about it.
No.
Yeah, so this family's so huge that you gotta ask yourself twice. Are they really brothers or cousins or something? This one had to be in here because we had to talk about them briefly. But they have such a huge family to talk about that it's more than brothers with them. We have to do a whole special on the Onoa'is. And once again, please, if I butchered that name, that's as best New York white guy I can pronounce it. But I remember them. I think one of my favorite moments of them coming out, I believe, did Captain Lou Albano manage them? Or am I just dreaming?
Yes. No, they did.
That's right. I'm trying to remember this. I'm not even Googling it, kids. I could have did research. But this is I'm trying to reach back into the archives of what my brain holds, and that's what I'm remembering. But then I also remember Afa managing the Head Shrinkers, which I got confused with before. That was the Wild Samoans before the Head Shrinkers. But Afa managed the Head Shrinkers, and I remember he would just drag them out. I remember when they would come out on the Royal Rumble, he would drag them out by the hair and toss them out like you're up. It was pretty wild watching them, but it was pretty funny too. And they also have a wrestling school, I believe, out in Pennsylvania where some of our friends attend.
Yeah, the thing that I have to see, I have to go back now, and since you got me thinking about it, but the Wild Samoans, Afa, whenever we were talking about the Head Shrinkers, Samu is the son of Afa. And Fatu, which is Rikishi, is the nephew of Afa. So they weren't – the Head Shrinkers weren't brothers, but the Wild Samoans actually were. So it is very confusing with their huge family. But, the Wild Samoans actually throughout their time period of being wrestlers, they had 21 tag team championships around the world. And that was during a time when, that there were more – territories and whatnot, but to be that, to have that many in their short amount of time is pretty much unheard of. So they were pretty much, they wrestled for about two decades. And I mean, so you could almost say that they won almost over a tag team a year for 20 years.
Wow. Now I want to bring this up because, a lot of shows out there, we could have planned this out, Jonathan. We could have really wrote this out distinctively about it, but you know what? I wanted this to come off more realistic, because what you guys just heard was exactly how crazy this lineage is of the family, to where you think you have it right, but there's just so many people involved that we're really gonna have to do a special on them one day. But like I said, you don't know who's who, and even Yokozuna was a part of the family, right? Am I right?
Yes, Yokozuna and Umaga, the late That's Umaga, right. were also part of it. So it really just – it's probably the largest family tree, I would say, in professional wrestling.
That's right. And no matter how you plan this, man, it would still be confusing if we had all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. I like that. It was good. But moving right along before we bite our tongue on a lot of this, because we got to keep the ball rolling. Now, we're talking about some families in the past that are brothers, and I know people are going to strike me as crazy because these guys aren't that old, but they're a tag team years ago, even though they've been on TV recently as tagging, and they still tag to this day. But Jonathan, the Hardy Boys... The Hardy Boys are probably one of the biggest tag teams around, one of the most innovative tag teams, one of the craziest and daredevilish tag teams that have come out of the WWE in years. Tell me a little bit about the Hardy Boys, Jonathan, and what's so special about them?
Well, I think that what's special about them is, for all intents and purposes, they are two guys that should have never become the stars that they did in the world of professional wrestling. They really were kind of backyard wrestling, you know, guys whenever they were younger. And they kind of started their own really wrestling crew down in North Carolina. It was Omega Championship Wrestling. And they really just kind of took off from there. I don't have to tell you how much of a success they were in the WWE, but they really started on the independent scene. They started wrestling in like the 90s, I remember. Mm-hmm. And then they started kind of just slowly but surely becoming – they entered the WWF as what we call jobbers. And they kind of just were there. And if you look back at a lot of those matches back then, it wasn't uncommon for you to see Razor Ramon throwing around Jeff Hardy or whatever. And I remember their outfits were just god-awful. And I kept remembering whenever they would say, like, the Hardy Boys, I kept thinking of the books and how they were, like, terrible mystery novels back in the day. So, but they totally rose to popularity. They went on to become just multi-time tag team champions in everything that they did. And to this day, they're still a huge draw on not only the independent scene, but I dare say, if they came back to the WWE right now, people would lose their minds. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, they have a great following to this day. If you book these guys on a card, you know, places are going to sell out just because of the Hardy Boys. And like you said, too, I mean, together as brothers, as a tag team, they were dominant. Put on some of the most death-defying shows. I want to try to be like an old school ring announcer for a circus, but you know, they were part of the TLC matches, the early TLC matches with the Dudley Boys, who aren't really brothers, and Edge and Christian, who aren't really brothers.
What?
I know. But you know what I mean. They were part of that whole TLC turmoil, whatever you want to call it. Innovative. Nobody was really doing these matches like they were doing it at that time, and I'm sure they've lost a lot of memories with a lot of the bumps they've took throughout their career. But I mean, also when they went into singles competition, they both, you know, won multiple championships on their own, and you know, they leave quite a legacy not only as a tag team but also as individual careers.
Yeah, and they are currently in TNA right now, and they still have a lot left in them, I guess, you know, but it's good, and it's a testament to both of them that they're able to go on and do their own separate thing and become multi-time champions. In the WWE, though, they were six-time champions, if that even sounds, I mean, to me it sounds crazy. They were also a one-time WCW champion. Now, that is because of the whole invasion angle, so they didn't actually win them in WCW, but that still makes them, you know, seven-time WWE champions.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we talked a lot about a lot of these families and brothers, some sisters. It makes you realize, guys, that, you know, the world of pro wrestling isn't just about, you know, gimmick brothers or sisters. Like, there's actual families wrestling together today. And it's really cool to think about that, you know what I mean? There's not it's funny because I say there's not too many, but then when we list it off, there's been so many throughout the years. I'll throw this one out there for you again, too, Jonathan. Cousins who wrestled together, the Hearts, the Heart Foundation, the new and the old Heart Foundation, family wrestling together. Granted, this isn't part of the show of brothers and sisters, but I do want to look ahead, though, Jonathan, because, you know, we talked about families of yesterday, families of today. What about a look ahead of a tag team that are brothers that could possibly be another one of the greatest tag teams around, the Young Bucks? Tell me a little bit about the Young Bucks in your point of view.
They are, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of discussion right now saying when everybody discusses top wrestlers in the world, these guys' names come up all the time. So the Young Bucks are relatively known on the independent scene. They were in TNA for a while as Generation Me, but since then they've become just major stars on their own. Excuse me. And they started around 2004, and really they have just taken the world by storm. They're in New Japan Pro Wrestling right now, part of the Bullet Club, which is a big deal in the world of professional wrestling. But they have wrestled for, you know, you name it, and they're part of Northeast Wrestling, which we are a part of. They're also a part of FWE, which we're a part of. They're kind of – they run the gamut. They're all over the map, and they are one of the people who famously turned down contracts to WWE. So I don't know if there was a real reason for that or if they just are enjoying what they're doing right now, but they are consistently putting on matches of the night and just amazing, amazing talent really coming from them. And, you know, they're Matt and Nick, if you were confused or didn't know their names. But yes, Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks.
Yeah, that's right. And they're a little different in age. One's 29, one's 25. Matt's 29, Nick's 25. But, I mean, they're still relatively young. Do you think, I don't know, in the next few years we'll actually see them in the WWE again? Or do you think they're just having too much fun doing what they're doing right now?
I would hope to think that, you know, WWE is supposed to be the showcase of where the world's best talent goes. So if they have differences with WWE or WWE has differences with them, I hope that that's put aside for the betterment of the product and for the fans, really. I mean, you know, we have the former Kevin Steen in WWE right now. We have the former El Generico. We have Daniel Bryan. We have Finn Balor. We have Hideo Itami. We have all of these stars. And I would definitely say that there's a place for the Young Bucks in the WWE.
Sure. Well, that's just a look ahead, I guess. We touched briefly on the Young Bucks, but we talked about the Steiners, Don Wattie's, Hardy Boys, the Dust Brothers, the Briscoes, the Bellas, and a few others here and there. But Jonathan, I mean, just thinking back at the names we listed, even Harlem Heat. Thanks again to Booker T for joining us. But I mean, you know, all the teams we listed, there's still plenty more out there. I mean, we just touched on you know, some of the bigger names today, but it's amazing how, you know, brothers, sisters are in the world of pro wrestling today, and you don't really know it. And granted, I know a lot of you guys out there are listening, saying, "I knew it, I knew this," but a lot of you out there probably are saying, "No, I didn't realize it," because, you know, when you watch wrestling, you know, you take it for what it is. You don't really take it for as a actual factual show, because when you hear somebody's a brother, like Kane and The Undertaker, you're like, oh, yeah, they're brothers. But it's fun to learn about the actual, real-life blood brothers and sisters in the business today. But, Jonathan, if you're listening too, I know you're listening because you're listening to me, but if you guys are listening out there and you're on Facebook, because everybody is, and you're on it probably right now listening to the show, give us a like, facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. Leave a comment about today's show on some of the brothers, or tell us about some people that we might have missed, because I know we missed somebody, right?
Yeah, we probably definitely did. I think that I would say that we missed the Hardy or the Holly boys, but they weren't necessarily a real brother duo. But check it out. Check us out. Tweet us, like us, follow us. This is how we just keep growing. So the more that you guys do, the more that we can do for you. We appreciate all the support and all the help. But 2015 really will be the year for us. And just, you know, come on out, keep supporting us. And speaking of supporting us, the holiday season is over, but now is the perfect time to get on prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast and pick up one of our very own shirts. And there is a special deal that's going on right now, Steve. I've been hearing about it for a little bit now. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, one of our buddies, Collector's Realm, they're going to have a meet and greet with Rowdy Roddy Piper on Sunday, March 8th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You guys can check that info out at collectorsrealm.net. Now, the one special thing about this is if you guys have another wrestling podcast t-shirt from our Pro Wrestling Tees shirt. So if you head on over, like Jonathan said, prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast, pick up a shirt. If you have a shirt at that autograph signing, you will receive a free photo op with the Hot Rod himself. So what a perk for picking up one of the shirts. You can get a free photo op that day. Why wouldn't you not want to get a shirt, Jonathan?
Yeah, I've got several of them right now, and I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to wear to that signing. So come on out, support our friends at Collector's Realm, get a cool t-shirt and get a free photo op. There is no reason that you should not be doing this right now as you're listening to this podcast.
That's right. And today, right now, the perfect day would be to buy it is right now, because if you buy it today, you'll probably have it just before the meet and greet. You'll probably have it plenty of time before the meet and greet, but I mean, time to get it today, folks, if you're going to get it. Now than ever, do it right now. So what a perk. Thanks again to Collector's Realm for doing this little deal with us. And Jonathan, where can they find all the other information about out about us?
Well, we like to call it our mothership. We like to say that if you are on social media, maybe you are a Twitter person, maybe you're not, maybe you like Facebook, maybe you don't, but if you don't do any of that stuff, or even if you do all that stuff and you want to find out more about us, the best place for you to go is anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. I'll say it again. It's the site so nice, I said it twice. Anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. That's really the best place for you to go to find out any and everything about us.
Today's show is brought to you by
TagMeADate.com, here to lay the smackdown to all kinds of dating sites across the country. I know, kind of cheesy, but here's the thing, guys. For the first time ever, we have an online dating service for professional wrestling fans. It's awesome. Check it out yourself. I'm a radio DJ here in Kansas City, Missouri, and I've already had tons of success on the site. TagMeADate.com, the first month's free. So go ahead, take a look. I got a good feeling you're not going to be disappointed. So check it out now, TagMeADate.com.
Community calendar.
Northeast Wrestling is coming back to Crosby High School Friday, March 6th at 8 p.m. in Waterbury, Connecticut. It is WrestleFest 19. We talked about the Young Bucks today. You can actually see the Young Bucks on March 6th, along with Rowdy Roddy Piper, AJ Styles, Harlem Heat, Booker T and Stevie Ray, Jerry Lawler, Brian Anthony, formerly Alberto Del Rio, now known as Alberto El Patron, and Matt Hardy. A lot of brothers we talked about today are actually going to be on the show, Jonathan. You guys don't want to miss this. Friday, March 6th, we're going to be there. Get your tickets today at northeastwrestling.com. We want to thank you guys for listening today. Every week we create something for you to listen to, and it's absolutely free. We are the Wrestling Fans Podcast, because after all, we're fans also. Help us out by subscribing to our show on iTunes. While you're there, you can rate us and give us a good review.
If you're looking for more AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com to find out more about upcoming guests and where we may pop up. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and buy an official AWP shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. We couldn't do the show without you, so please tune in next week for
another wrestling podcast.